This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 5th of September 2025. Hello, and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle, dated the 4th of September, 2025. Your readers today are Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And Jane Rutter.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. Before we get started, first an apology that for technical reasons, you will not be receiving a magazine this month. The main headlines this week are River Itchen Report Deeply Concerning, Privilege to Be the New Bishop, and Care Home Worker Stole to Buy Heroin. So we start with the first headline story,
which is Richard, the River Itchen Report Deeply Concerning. A new study has discovered a deeply concerning level of microparticles pollution in the River Itchen. The first of its kind study conducted by the Upper Itchen Restoration Community Interest Company, UIRCIC, and the University of Brighton has found tiny plastic and fibreglass particles in the river's headwaters. This has raised questions about the health of England's freshwater ecosystems. Citizen scientists working with researchers detected microfiber and microparticle pollution every site sampled along the river in spring 2025. Early analysis suggests that the pollution is widespread across the streams of the Upper Itchen, with the results revealing persistent catchment-wide contamination. The research also confirmed that chalk streams, of which the Itchen is one of the 200 worldwide, are being affected by particle pollution, adding new concerns on habitat loss, chemical pollution, water abstraction, and drought. Catherine Bowler, Watercress and Winterbourne's partnership manager at Hampshire and the Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust, called the finding of the study deeply concerning. She said the Itchen is one of England's most precious chalk streams, home to an incredible diversity of wildlife, including endangered Atlantic salmon and the rare white-clawed crayfish. The discovery of such high levels of microplastics is deeply concerning. These tiny fibres can tangle together, forming clumps that act like larger pieces of plastic by blocking the digestive systems of fish and invertebrates. This can prevent freshwater species in the river from feeding properly, disrupt vital processes, and in the worst case, prove fatal. Through the Itchen Salmon Delivery Plan and the Watercress and Winterbourne Landscape Partnership, Hampshire Wildlife Trust is working with partners and the local committees to restore the health of the river, improving habitats, supporting breeding grounds, and giving wildlife the best possible chance to thrive. But this study is a stark reminder that tackling microplastic pollution must also be part of the solution if we are to secure a healthy future for all the wildlife that depends on the river. The research, which focuses on identifying and quantifying pollutants in the Upper Itchen, is still ongoing. Additional samples will be analysed throughout 2025 with the aim of tracing pollution sources assessing potential impacts on wildlife and exploring ways to reduce harm. The final report is expected later this year and aims to deliver a comprehensive picture of particle pollution in a UK chalk stream. The results will be shared with landowners, farmers, local groups, and regulation extending understanding beyond the Itchen. Dr. Corinne Cloken, Principal Lecturer at Brighton University School of Applied Sciences, said, "Chalk streams are like the Itchen, are unique and often compared to rainforests for their biodiversity. Finding microfibers and even fiberglass fragments at every site we sampled is concerning, but it also gives us the evidence we need to act. The next step is to identify the sources of the pollution and work with local partners to reduce it." Ian Diver, one of the directors of the UIRCIC, added, "The Itchen is one of England's iconic chalk rivers with a special community of plants and animals, but its ecosystem is declining. These early results show that microplastic particles pollution is an issue we cannot ignore. There is currently no data on particle and pollution in the Upper Itchen. This project changes that. By combining citizen science with rigorous analysis, we can fill a vital knowledge gap and support and empower landowners, conservationists, and the communities to protect this river. The researchers hope the study could become a model for investigating particle pollution in similar freshwater environments worldwide, as plastic pollution continues to rise and the rivers play a critical role in transporting these particles from land to sea."
Privilege to be the new bishop. Downing Street has appointed a new bishop of Basingstoke, who is promising to bring kindness, wisdom, and courage to the Diocese of Winchester. The Venerable Kelly Betteridge, currently Archdeacon of Bodmin, has been named the first female bishop of Basingstoke and will have a leadership role across the diocese, including Basingstoke, Alton, Alsford, Andover, Odiham and Whitchurch. On the day of the announcement, she visited Burghclere, Hartley Whitney, St Michael's Church in Basingstoke and Evensong at Winchester Cathedral, where she met members of the community, youth groups and chaplains. She said, "It's so exciting, it's such a privilege. I'm looking forward to being here and getting to hear people's stories and getting involved in the church and beyond to engage. I'm delighted to be here. I want to be someone who enables others and the community to flourish. I will absolutely listen to people and find out what is already going on and encourage and support it." She will be making contact with schools, churches and civic offices to really listen and hear what's going on. Archdeacon Kelly lives in Cornwall, where there are many, many small and beautiful churches, and she explained that she is passionate about keeping churches open. She said, "No one wants churches to close. Buildings close as an absolutely last resort, and I won't be seeking to do it. When that happens, it is sad for the community. Sometimes there are occasions for new life in those places, maybe in a different form. It's better if buildings can be used. It's a brilliant story of the community gathering together to transform ancient buildings." As part of her tour, she was walked through town by Basingstoke chaplains and visited some of their calling points, including the bus station and Build-A-Bear workshop. Archdeacon Kelly said, "There's a real sense that chaplains and people who do work here have such a positive impact on the community. I want to shine a spotlight on that." She will be consecrated as a bishop on Wednesday, October the 15th at Southwark Cathedral and welcomed formally at a service at St Mary's Andover on November the 15th. She said, "I think there is so much to celebrate in the whole church community."
Care home worker stole to buy heroin. A care home worker who stole money from residents to buy heroin and crack cocaine has avoided prison. Hayley Scott, 47, of the Valley Stanmore, Winchester, stole approximately £15,000 from clients between January the 1st and September the 30th, 2024, while working at Consensus Support, a court heard. Appearing at Winchester Crown Court on Friday, Scott was sentenced to 18 months in prison, suspended for 18 months. Prosecutor Daniel Nicholson Phillips said Scott had been experiencing financial difficulties with an eviction notice issued for her property. Mr. Nicholson Phillips said, "During this time she helped the residents get items from the nearby Tesco. She took their cards with her and brought the items back to the care home with her. But she was taking money from the cash machines using the bank cards and buying items for herself." The prosecutor said that Scott was also not following proper procedures regarding the bank cards, at one point taking one of the cards home with her. Mitigating, Katie Porter Winley said that Scott had been facing considerable difficulties and she has been taking steps to turn her life around since her actions were discovered. She said she's been doing her very best. Judge Paul Dugdale said, "You were a team leader at Consensus Support. That means you had a position of responsibility. You were responsible for the care of five members of the community who were vulnerable, who were unable to look after themselves. You are a person of good character. You have one previous conviction, but it is nothing of any relevance to this matter. Over a period of time, you stole from the residents of the care home. You took money from them and spent it on Class A drugs and spent it on cocaine and heroin. I know that the person most disgusted by your actions is yourself. Something everyone in the public needs to understand is a big step towards bettering themselves. I'm not here to say that you are a horrible person. You've made a bad decision. It is what you do after that matters. This is an offence for which you would have gone to prison, but I am going to suspend it." She must also complete 100 hours of unpaid work, 9 months' worth of drug rehabilitation, and 15 days' worth of probation support.
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Clark, Angela Mary Clark, on the 10th of August, aged 88. Davidson, Derek Ray Davidson, at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 21st of August. Fechtfanger, Edgar Fechtfanger, at home on the 22nd of August, aged 100. Fowler, May Fowler, on the 27th of August, aged 98. Handbury, Judith Handbury, née Patterson, on the 17th of August at Challoner House, aged 82. Harvey, John Leonard Harvey, at Southampton General Hospital on the 8th of August, aged 75. Hughes, David Hughes, there are no further details given. Pettigrew, Michael Pettigrew, and again, no further details are given. Pitters, Susan Pitters, on the 7th of August, aged 84. Prendergast, Michael Dennis Prendergast, at the Royal Hamps County Hospital on the 11th of August. Ratcliffe, Brian John Ratcliffe, at home on the 7th of August, aged 76. Scallon, David Scallon, at Westacre Nursing Home on the 22nd of August, aged 82. Taylor, Susan Doris Taylor, née Watson, no further details given. Wyatt, David Wyatt, at home on the 25th of August, aged 90. Weber, Amanda Weber, on the 27th of August, aged 82. And now we have Christian comment.
Which is this week from the Reverend Philip Crinks, and he heads it, Hope Matters More Than Optimism. Christians are called to be people of hope. Some of us start most days with words from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the ways of peace. A dawn has broken upon the world in the life and teaching and loving self-sacrifice of Jesus. He gives light to those who follow him, even though we sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Over time, through his grace, working in us, he guides our feet into the way of peace. This is our hope, as we travel through all the changes and chances of this fleeting world. We come closer to God and growing in the love of him and of our neighbour. It's important to distinguish Christian hope from something far inferior, optimism, or the belief in secular progress. Hope is the idea that by God's grace we can live better in a world which brings us many changes. Optimism is the idea that the world's changes go generally in one direction. It is getting better over time. One problem with optimism is that it's rather shallow. As soon as it doesn't look like changes are for the better, the result is utter gloom. That may be one reason people are so gloomy at the moment. Another is that it tends to miss what matters. Even if there's been a trend of progress in areas like technology and the economy over recent centuries, it turns out that these are not what really bring us joy. Joy comes from whether we develop an unconditional love of the world which God has made, and of him who made it, and of our neighbour. There, humanity has not changed. We face the same temptations as those we hear about on our favourite history podcasts. We still have to fight the same battles in ourselves and in our society against selfishness and possessiveness, against our tendency to seek and safeguard our own power, pleasure and security in ways which ultimately do us harm. We still tend to see whatever arrangements will suit us best as the fair ones, even while feeling a huge sense of moral superiority over others. Now, please don't get me wrong, I am not at all despairing, far from it. In fact, I'm full of hope and joy. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from which on high will break upon us. It's just that shallow optimism is never the right way to look at sayings which really matter. Almighty God, who alone can bring us order to the unruly wills and passions of sinful humanity, give us grace so to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. And that was from the Reverend Philip Crinks.
Next, we have the letters to the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so either by telephoning 01962 860 836, that's 01962 860 836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or by writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. We've got 12 letters this week, most of them fairly short, on a variety of topics.
And this first one is not fairly short, it's quite,
it's quite a long one.
But it's entitled Denied Public Transport, and it comes from Trish Lavery. It appears that local communities across the Winchester area are being denied public transport, despite the urging from all sides to take the bus. The only people taking buses would seem to be the companies taking them for parking, as few make it onto the streets. The axing of the 61 route between Winchester and Eastleigh is incomprehensible, as even the drivers say it is a busy route serving students at two colleges in Eastleigh, patients and visitors to the hospital, and shoppers for Eastleigh, not to mention workers at both destinations. Theoretically, people from Twyford and Coldon Common can reach Eastleigh using the hourly 69 service, Fareham to Winchester, connecting with a 20-minute service in Fair Oak. In practice, it adds at least 30 minutes to a four-mile journey. This is of no use to residents on Highbridge Road, Albrook, and Twyford Road, Eastleigh, who will have no public transport whatsoever. Eastleigh is not a pretty town, but has real everyday shops, unlike Winchester, which is increasingly a tourist city with coffee shops and clothes that most of us would buy once a year in the sales. With one small, basically stocked supermarket, it cannot be called a realistic shopping area. The difficulties caused by axing the 61 service are now compounded by the astonishing decision of Stagecoach to reroute the 69 to omit St Cross but go on the motorway and approach Winchester via Bar End, stopping at the Broadway. They claim it will cut 10 minutes from the journey. For whom? The bus driver? It will certainly not cut minutes for most people who are now left to walk uphill to shops and library instead of alighting in Southgate Street with quick downhill access to shops. And having shopped, they now face the long walk, carrying shopping to the Broadway Kilmaffrid statue instead of being able to get the bus at the stop behind M&S. We have to assume that the planners have access to cars and rarely, if ever, use public transport. That's from Trish Lavery, Sunningdale Park, Coldon Common.
The next letter is from Chris O'Neill and is entitled Elderly Need Buses. Residents learnt from notices attached to bus stops that the highly valued number 4 bus service linking the Winchester districts of Tegdown, Fallflood and Highcliffe to the city centre was being summarily discontinued at the end of August. The route is particularly appreciated by the elderly and those with mobility issues. The notice suggested alternative bus routes which could be used. For many, access to the alternatives are a considerable distance away, with substantial climbs or descents, which for some are not physically possible to negotiate. It is mainly the elderly and disabled and young mothers who are disadvantaged by this route withdrawal. So that's all right, isn't it? Public services and decent care provision in an unending age of austerity have become inadequate, with no prospect of improvement. Still, it doesn't matter, does it? What's happened to the government policy of an integrated transport system, linking hospitals, doctor's surgeries, bus and rail stations to the areas people live in? Of course, some residents are fortunate on the now closed route, having the financial means to use taxis or their own cars, adding to congestion and pollution for you to inhale in the city centre. So that's all right then. Yes, we will protest at the closure, confer with our neighbours and sign petitions, contact our elected representatives, both local and national, engage with the bus company and the media, and sadly, probably nothing will change. So that's all right then. Is it? And that letter was from Chris O'Neill, who is the chair of Hampshire Unison Retired Members Section in Winchester.
And this is a letter from Simon Lever, entitled New Hospitality. Once again, Winchester's proved to be an attraction to hospitality businesses and eateries. Chronicle, August 28th. Two having just opened, the Fox and Fig in St. George's Street and Toast in Jury Street. These hospitality businesses are a welcome addition to Winchester's thriving city centre. And that's from Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm.
A broader view, writes Es Mayer. I have identified some of the problems facing the country, such as societal breakdown, systemic failure, and moral decline. I don't really have an answer. Perhaps we could all work for the common good. Politicians on both sides of the Atlantic seem to care more about party and ideology than the interests of the country. Keir Starmer and Labour seem to be heading in the right direction, despite fierce opposition from the Tory press. Do people really want to go back to the dark days of Tory incompetence? They were completely out of touch. We need to take a broader view. I find the whole situation very disheartening. So writes Es Mayer, Berwick Road, Week, Winchester.
This next letter is from our regular correspondent and former mayor, Eileen Berry, and it's entitled Tribute to Simon. It is well known that my letters normally are in support of the city of Winchester, but there is another side to life that we ought to embrace and give thanks for. My thanks and many other people like me would like to pay tribute to Simon Andrews and his band Something Else. We don't often give thanks for the good things people do, such as an evening of rock in the March Hare pub. I happened to be there the Saturday before his accident. Believe me, his energy was infectious. Of course, in my youth, I was up there dancing to 60s, 70s and even 80s music. To my surprise, listening to his music, the Rolling Stones, the Who, Guns N' Roses, all of them, I was up dancing. Now, I'm not young, but that's how good he was, making us all engage in a fun evening. I'm so pleased that on that evening, that last evening, I was able to give him a hug and a friendly kiss and thank him for a wonderful evening. They are one of the best bands and the favourites of so many people. So I would like to say, not just for myself, but for many, many others, thank you. Yes, you're gone, but you have left a memory. And that was from Eileen Berry, Prizedean Road in Hairstock.
And this letter is from J.A. Maguire, and it's just entitled Thank You. Thank you, dear Mormon Church. On Thursday afternoon, I had a most pleasant surprise when two adorable ladies from the above church knocked on my door. As an 84-year-old man, I didn't expect to find such gracious people interested in me and my welfare. I wish to thank them from the bottom of my heart, and that's from J.A. Maguire, Waverley, Stanmore, Winchester.
Proud of flag, writes Mark Rowe. Over the past few months, I have heard a lot about people talking about the St. George, England flag. It has been around since 1606, if I remember my history correctly. In my view, and others may agree or not, this flag unifies England and brings hope and pride. A flag that is admired all around the world, promoting the English spirit, that should be shown proudly all year and brings people together of all backgrounds. Let's be proud to be English. Let's celebrate St. George and roar like English lions. Winchester is the birthplace of England, the dream of one king, who we call great. Just think, if Alfred's dream can come true, then you who read this are capable of. Let's inspire, help and support each other in the spirit of Alfred, St. George and England. Together as a nation, let's show the world what we can do, that we are proud to be English and lots more. God bless the King. So writes Mark Rowe, Taplings Close, Week, Winchester.
This letter from Margaret Grant, née Ayling, is entitled Memories. I was told to stir the old grey matter again and ask Winchester locals, old and new, if they still notice the painted pot and brush shown in the window of St. John's house, the one-legged jackdaw that lives in the Abbey grounds, the lovely hanging baskets around the town, that time still stands still on some of the street clocks. Maybe this is why some buildings stay empty for 5, 10, 20 years. Some street or lane signs are missing, the old driver's sign in the bus station still in situ. Remember when litter bins were used? The tea counter and somewhere to sit inside while waiting for your bus. The old recycling yard in Andover Road, where all ages could return scavenged bits of metal, bottles, jam jars to augment their beer, fag or pocket money, even the old rabbit skin from poaching or otherwise. Did you know the flower fairies danced in Dr. Edelson's Wanston Garden? If you don't believe in them, I have proof. I'm sure there are many more things to remember and notice. So chat to visitors and friends alike, verbally that is, and keep your grey matter working. Smile, chat, say hello. You know who I am. And that was from Margaret Grant, née Ayling, Berriton Road, Hairstock, Winchester.
And this is a letter from Chris Corcoran entitled Twyford Down. I'm so glad that Chris Gillam has been keeping an eye on what's left of Twyford Down and has noticed the crop marks in the field just to the east of Hockley Golf Course, a Chronicle Letters, August the 28th. They show up quite often in dry weather, so it's hardly surprising they can be seen this year. They are the outlines of Iron Age fields which covered this area. They were mapped in the early 1990s for the M3 inquiry by English Heritage as part of their case against the M3 motorway. The historic environmental record of Hampshire County Council has a vast amount of mapped finds and this information. Hockley Golf Course, which adjoins the field, has two extensive ancient monuments, which were Iron Age Romano-British farmsteads. Interestingly, your drone footage shows none of the marking of these ancient fields, but that's because the golf course has never been ploughed, or not since the 5th century or so, And so the Iron Age landscape lies largely intact beneath the greens and fairways. It was part of the common grazing of Twyford from the early Saxon period and remained as downland until made into a golf course in 1914. I hope you enjoyed your walk, Chris. On the footpaths up there, you're above the sight and sound of the M3 traffic and have splendid views of the city and the Itchen Valley. And that letter's from Chris Corcoran, Finches Lane, Twyford.
Bruce Purvis, who is a bell ringer at Winchester Cathedral, entitles his letter Not Forgotten. Anne Ferry, Chronicle Letters, August the 28th, asserts that the 14th Army was once again forgotten by Winchester on the 80th anniversary of Victory over Japan Day, August the 15th. I beg to differ, as the bells of Winchester Cathedral and of local church towers rang out on the 15th from 6:30 p.m. for half an hour as part of the national remembrance of Victory over Japan Day. That letter is from Bruce Purvis, bell ringer, Winchester Cathedral, Wood Green Road, Hairstock, Winchester.
This penultimate letter is from Roger Stevens and it's entitled App Takeover. Mary Pearson, Moral Rights, Chronicle, Letters, August the 14th, bemoans the fact that people who don't have smartphones and computers are being excluded from daily life. For instance, if you don't have these things, you can't book a trip to the waste centre or in many places park your car. Pensioners, such as myself, are accustomed to the benefits of using our credit cards to pay for goods and services, but we can be sure that cards will soon be phased out in favour of an app on a phone. Already I've been unable to use the park and ride because I don't have the app. It would not be so bad if these things were properly configured. I'm convinced that the designers of these systems live in a virtual world on their computers because it is impossible to believe that they have any exposure to the world in which you and I live. For instance, I once managed to use my phone to pay for parking, I think. But astonishingly, there was no automatic acknowledgement. I was just supposed to assume that it was all okay. My confidence in this sort of communication hovers around the 30% mark. A few days ago, I tried to use a touchscreen at Southampton General Hospital to register my attendance for an appointment. I was unable to do so because when the screen instruction told me to confirm, there was no confirm button on the screen. Has anyone got a sat-nav that displays your destination? I'm finding it increasingly difficult to access certain websites because I'm not always able to interpret the smudgy images in order to overcome the Are You a Bot challenge. Are 21st century whiz kids incapable of doing better than this? And that letter was from Roger Stevens, Cliffway in Compton.
And this is a letter from Bill Hode, entitled Hermetically Sealed Leisure Centre. The abandoned video that recently appeared on YouTube clearly demonstrates why the council has tried to be hermetically seal the building to conceal their inability to deal with the situation within it. Chronicle, August 21st. Only those of stout heart should watch this video. The impractical, almost dilettante fashion in which the council tried to offload their responsibility for its future, having now been made public. It must now be time for them to stand up and deal with the demolition of the building before it becomes a rat-infested palace from which, due to the alimentary nature of the new population, the area surrounding it will soon become infected. I understand that the cost of demolition of this leisure centre was included in the project cost of the Bar Inn Centre. Doubtless, we will never be fully informed of the total amount of our money that's been expended on this fiasco. But I feel that the grave nature of this situation and the seemingly pointless financial extravagance should become better known to the population of Winchester as a whole, and not just those of us who dwell nearby. And that letter is from Bill Hode, Worthy Lane, Winchester.
That concludes our letters. Next, we have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment, and that will be followed by First Person.
And the editorial comment this week is entitled, A Wake-Up Call About State of Our Rivers. There have been warnings before, but everyone should take notice of the latest report on the declining state of the River Itchen. The fine work done by the University of Brighton and the citizen scientists of the Upper Itchen Restoration Community Interest Company has highlighted the invisible threat to one of this country's greatest treasures. Microfiber and microparticle pollution is gently and remorselessly harming the flora and fauna of our chalk streams. The Brighton study focused on the Itchen, but the same thing will be happening on the Test, Meon, Avon, Stour, and all the other British chalk streams. Conservationists have been sounding the alarm bells for some time, and the Chronicle reported on the campaigning of the former Eastleigh MP and Alresford resident, the late David Chidgey, before his death in 2022. But this groundbreaking study has laid out clearly the danger from this contamination. There are microfibers from clothing, tyre particles from road runoff, and even fibreglass, which the researchers say is rarely found in rivers. And this is on top of phosphate pollution from farming, over-abstraction and habitat loss. When Rachel Carson wrote Silent Spring some 60 years ago, the public could see with their own eyes the rapid decline that pesticides were causing. The law was changed and the most harmful were banned. Wildlife recovered. The trouble is that the Itchen still looks absolutely pristine and beautiful, and there are few free pleasures better than standing on its bank and simply watching the water flow by. The public need to be more widely informed about the danger here. That will increase pressure on landowners, farmers, local authorities, and government. But at the end of the day, it is us, the public, who need to know the environment harm our lifestyle is causing.
The first person this week is by Joanna Lewis, and it's entitled The Joys of Holiday Stress. What on earth has happened to... fill in the blank. For isn't this cry such a regular occurrence we barely register it anymore? We've become players in a dark comedy in which we routinely reveal to each other whichever organisation, company or previously accepted behaviour is now functioning either a different way or not at all. Here's one for you. British Airways, what a shambles. I feel this deeply as I only ever wanted to be an air hostess. I grew up in a world of airline glamour. There was a pecking order. Pan Am had the edge, especially with its outfits and accessories, as modelled by my Cindy doll and her iconic sky blue flight bag. In contrast, British Airways was always the more serious older sister, the reliable one, who got everyone home after a night out and would carry an umbrella just in case. British Airways was a byword for standards and efficiency. They had complimentary Molton Brown toilet bags, a better class of plane food, and their air stewards pioneered diversity. For years, I held the airline in the highest esteem for delivering me in style to Kenya for the first time in the 1990s. upgraded to first class, I was woken gently to see Mount Kilimanjaro below. Then my out-of-Africa moment, I took the steps alone in a peach satin trouser suit uncrumpled, heat like nothing I'd ever felt, the sound of screaming cicadas in the distance grazing impaler. I could almost see Robert Redford waiting on the runway in a pair of tight shorts. Okay, a month later, after field work, it was less romantic, hospitalised with amoebic dysentery and giardia, dressed like a tramp and acting like I was part of an Amish community. Still, I never forgot how the adventure began and was grateful. Fast forward to today, and the airline seems to have nosedived. I booked a holiday flight in March to Madeira, paying an extra £140 to choose our seats. The big fella is 6'7". Stretching out by the emergency exit is a must for someone who has to hinge themselves up and down in a series of manoeuvres like an industrial crane and has their own microclimate atop their head. Imagine then, you check your flight details and find suddenly you have no seats. So then you have to set aside 3 days of your life to try and speak to someone. Day one, you try to find a number on the website. Day two, when you call a number, which is not free, incidentally, you have to listen to a long message about what they do with your data. Not exactly high on your agenda, other than thinking of polite ways to tell them where to stuff it. Then you wait. Then you're told to ring back another time as lines are busy. The explanation for the disappearing seats? The plane had been reconfigured, and these seats were now business class and unavailable, unless you wanted to pay an extra £394 each. A refund ensued, and new seats booked in front of the toilet. Then it happened again. Our seats disappeared. No email again. More phone calls. Those seats were now needed by the aircrew. Possibly it's a blessing we're not sitting together anymore. I expect this kind of chaos from a budget airline. When your ticket costs little more than a McDonald's Happy Meal, you go with it. Flying from Bournemouth to Mallorca in May, just as the plane taxied onto the runway, suddenly the pilot made an announcement. The fuel gauge was showing the plane didn't have enough juice, so we had to return. Then came a second announcement. False alarm. The fuel cap hadn't been replaced. They had one job. So farewell, British Airways. Like the country you represent, things just ain't what they used to be.
Right, we next have some what's on items. From Friday the 12th of September to Sunday the 21st of September, it will be the Heritage Open Days. There's a tremendous number of things happening, opportunity to get into all kinds of places for free that you can't normally get into and things like that. There's so much information, it would take the rest of the our recording to tell you it all. So all I can suggest is that you visit the website or get somebody else to look on the website on your behalf. The website is Winchester Heritage Open Days, that's all one word, .org. That's Winchester Heritage Open Days .org. Or probably you can call in at the tourist office and they'll give you some information there. Later on, there will be a further item about some of the things that are happening during the Heritage Open Days. Continuing with what's on items, on Friday the 12th of September at 7:30 p.m. in Winchester Cathedral, there is an evening of Pink Floyd. On Saturday the 13th of September from 12 noon till 11 p.m. is the Worthies Festival, a local community free music festival at Eversley Park in Kingsworthy. Also on Saturday the 13th of September is the Romsey Show at Broadlands. And again, also on Saturday the 13th of September from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Arc is something called Stories in the Dark, brought to you by legendary storytelling producers, the Crick Crack Club. Through workshops, conversations, performances, experiments, and working with individuals with lived experience of sight loss, they have been exploring the relationship between words, story, memory, and the imagination. The result is Stories in the Dark, Fairy Tales for Grown-Ups, Delivered in Absolute Darkness. Tickets cost £12, and for more information and booking, you need to go to a website, and I'm afraid this is going to be quite complicated, so please bear with me. So the initial thing is https://, that's the normal way of getting into the internet. Then it is Crick Crack Club, all one word. Now, Crick is C-R-I-C-K, Crack is C-R-A-C-K, Club. So Crick Crack Club, all one word, .com. And after that, you need to put a /, Crick hyphen crack hyphen events /, stories hyphen in hyphen the hyphen dark hyphen to /. Sorry about all that. I'll just read it again. So that's https://, crick crack club, that's all one word, .com, /, crick hyphen crack hyphen events, /, stories hyphen in hyphen the hyphen dark hyphen to /. I'll also give you the ARC telephone number just in case you get into difficulties, which is 01962 398046. That's 01962 398046. Right, continuing, on Sunday the 14th of September from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m, King Alfred Buses are having a free bus ride bonanza in the Broadway. Also on Sunday the 14th of September at 7:30 at the Theatre Royal, there's a tribute concert to the iconic Rat Pack. On Tuesday the 16th of September at 7:30 in the Theatre Royal, an evening of classical Indian dance. And on Thursday the 18th of September, again at 7:30 in the Theatre Royal, a celebration of Dusty Springfield. On Saturday the 20th of September at 7 p.m. in the United Church, there is a piano concert called Out of the Hat, which will be given by pianists who performed at the Hat Fair. Oh. And then from Friday the 26th of September to Saturday the 4th of October at 7:30, the Chesil Theatre is presenting Home, I'm Darling, the Olivier Award-winning comedy, unpacking, and I quote, important questions about nostalgia, gender roles, and the illusion of the perfect life. Right, so that's quite a few things going on at the moment, but as I say, we'll talk a little bit more about the Heritage Open Days when we come on to the further news items. Sunrise this morning was at 6:30, around about 6:30, and sunset will be around about 8 p.m. tonight. And if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with our recordings that you've received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. That's 01962 861 229. And the number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. We now continue with further items of news.
And this item is entitled Boy, Age 9, Sells His Toys to Help Homeless Charity. A 9-year-old boy has sold his toys to raise money for a homeless charity. Miles spent 6 hours every day for a week outside his house selling his beloved toys to neighbours and passers-by. He raised £121, which he donated to the Winchester Beacon. The money will help people, will help provide safe accommodation, warm meals and support services for people facing homelessness. Miles' mother, Georgina, said, "I'm really proud of what Miles has achieved and the perseverance that he has shown. He loves creating stalls and selling things and interacting with people." Miles wanted to help people experiencing homelessness and was keen to give a local charity which he could hand over the money personally and understand where it went. The Winchester Beacon's communications and fundraising officer, Nancy Judge, praised the young fundraiser. She said, "We think Miles is an inspiration. We're so touched that he dedicated a whole week to raising funds to support our essential work. Miles' act of kindness is a reminder that anyone, no matter what their age, can make meaningful impact. His fundraising will make a real difference to those who rely on the Winchester Beacon for accommodation and support. Well done, and thank you from everyone at the Winchester Beacon." The Winchester Beacon, which was established in 1988, provides more than just a bed for those in need. It helps individuals to rebuild their lives by providing access to a wide range of support, including healthcare, employment, training, and long-term housing situations.
End of the road for number 4 bus. More than 30 campaigners came together to say goodbye to the number 4 bus that has been a vital service for many over the years. On Saturday, residents of the full flood area were joined by Winchester MP Danny Chambers and councillors Chris Westwood, Lucille Thompson, Martin Todd and Johnny Morris to protest about the end of the service. The decision to cut the service route was made by operator Stagecoach after seeing low patronage in the full flood and Teg Down area on the service running from Highcliffe to the city centre and Teg Down. Councillor Westwood said, "I'm concerned about the residents for whom this is an absolutely vital service. There are people in full flood who rely on the number 4 bus to go to the doctors, to the hospital, to go shopping, and to continue living independently."
And now some more information on the Heritage Open Days as promised. And this article is entitled "Open Days, Highlight Tales of Forgotten Lives." Medieval mysteries and tales of forgotten lives will be explored through guided tours and storytelling. Led by the University of Winchester academics, the events are part of this year's Winchester Heritage Open Days, running from September the 12th to the 21st, and will shine a light on the lesser-known histories and hidden corners of the city. Senior lecturer in medieval history, Dr. Cindy Wood, will lead 2 walking tours of medieval Winchester, focusing on the people who lived and worked on the High Street and in the Cathedral Close, as well as the lost parish churches and remnants still visible today. Dr. Wood said, "The tour looks at the city from a personal level, the names of leaseholders, their livelihoods and lifestyles. Hopefully, this tour will show participants another view of the city and its long history." The 90-minute tours will take place on Saturday, September the 13th at 10 a.m. and again at 2 p.m, starting from the Westgate at the top of the High Street. Tickets are free but must be booked in advance by Wednesday, September the 10th. The route covers pavements and pedestrian areas around the city centre, though organisers note that not all parts may be accessible for wheelchairs or buggies. Dr. Christina Welsh, reader in religious studies and death studies, will lead tours of West Hill Cemetery, sharing stories of those buried there. Her research covers the cemetery's history since its opening in 1840 and includes tales such as that of American bare-knuckle boxer Charles Freeman, famous for his bouts with William Perry, the Tipton Slasher. The tours will take place on Saturday, September the 20th at 11 a.m. and on Sunday, September the 21st at 2 p.m, beginning at West Hill Lodge on St James's Lane. The programme also includes an event marking the Captain Swing Riots of 1830. The talk, titled Captain Swing Riots Bicentenary Commemoration, The Architecture of Crime and Punishment, will explore the aftermath of the rural uprising, which saw 300 men tried at Winchester's Grand Assize for offences including machine breaking and riotous assembly. Many were sentenced to transportation to Australia. Their crime was to be near starving and underemployed following the introduction of machinery and a series of poor harvests. Hampshire was one of the epicentres of the rebellion that gripped southern England, including Sutton Scotney and Micheldever. One rioter was sentenced to death for knocking off the hat of Lord Baring. Christopher Mulvey, Professor Emeritus of English at the University of Winchester, will speak at the event about prison slang and the folk song The Oslebury Lads, which the audience will be invited to sing. The event will take place on Saturday, September the 13th from 11 a.m. in the United Church in Jury Street. The Heritage Open Days Festival has grown in scope and popularity in recent years, attaining a nationwide reputation as an event that brings to life a city's past in a way rarely matched anywhere else in the UK. More information about these and other events is available on the Winchester Heritage Open Days website.
And just a reminder of that website address, it's Winchester Heritage Open Days, all one word, .org. That's Winchester Heritage Open Days, .org.
And this is entitled Protesters Gather as Rural Bus Makes Its Final Stop. A rural bus made its final journey after the service was cut and was met with a protest. Despite the efforts of the district and county councillors, the 61 bus route between Winchester and Eastleigh has been axed. The service, run by Stagecoach, stopped on Saturday, August the 30th, after Hampshire County Council withdrew funding. This means residents of Colden Common, Twyford, Albrook and Boyett Wood lose direct bus links to Eastleigh and to the Royal Hampshire County Hospital. Colton Common will be left with only the 69 service, which runs between Fareham and Winchester. On Saturday, protesters gathered outside Colton Common bus stop to meet the bus as it stopped there for the final time. Danny Chambers, MP, travelled on the bus and got off at Colden Common to join the protest. Danny said, despite the rain, there was a huge turnout at Colden Common to back the 61 bus, proof of the strength of feeling and of how vital this service is to rural communities. Hampshire County Council is making a huge mistake by axing it. People rely on this bus to live independently, reach hospital appointments, and stay connected. On Saturday, I joined the final journey from Winchester to Eastleigh via Colden Common, where the bus driver told me the route's been running for over 100 years. To cut it now, when it's needed as much as ever, is a disgrace. Several routes round Fareham, Salisbury, Winchester and Eastleigh will no longer run due to cuts at Hampshire County Council. The council says the routes are poorly used and they're facing a deficit and can't afford to subsidise them. A Colden Common Parish Council spokesman said, at a time when the use of public transport is being promoted over private car use, it is hard to understand why, when a viable scheme is being proposed, support is not forthcoming. The parish council has spent a considerable amount of time and effort trying to retain the 61 route and is aware of how vital the service is for all our residents, from those accessing employment, further education, shopping and leisure activities. We are now revisiting the possibility of a community bus service from Twyford to Eastleigh College via Colden Common, Albrook and Eastleigh bus station. This is dependent on funding and on operative being found.
Steam locomotive to draw the enthusiasts. The steam locomotive number 35005 Canadian Pacific is expected to be a major highlight at the Watercress Lines Engineering Open Weekend. The event on Saturday, September the 13th and Sunday, September the 14th will allow visitors to see the wartime locomotive up close. It was launched at the Heritage Railway in March after a 14-year restoration project by the Watercress Lines volunteers. Built in 1941 by Southern Railway's Eastleigh Locomotive Works, the Canadian Pacific has been restored to its former glory with the help of the National Lottery Heritage Fund. The Engineering Open Weekend will also offer a behind-the-scenes experience at Ropley Station. Visitors will have the chance to meet the team who keep the trains running. This tour is free as part of Heritage Open Days. Other current restoration projects will be showcased in the engineering hub, with access to the yard, engineering shed and carriage shop viewing galleries, where visitors can learn more about steam locomotive and rolling stock maintenance and restoration. The event will also allow visitors to enjoy unlimited travel on the heritage steam trains, exploring the four stations along the railway's 10-mile route. Rebecca Daly, CEO of the Watercress Line, said, "Don't miss this fantastic opportunity. You'll see the passion and expertise that goes into maintaining our locomotives and carriages. We're incredibly proud of our team's work, and this event allows us to share their story in an engaging, hands-on way. Whether you're a lifelong rail enthusiast or looking for a great day out with the family, there's something for everyone to enjoy." The special weekend event will also feature interactive activities and displays for children, and society stands displaying locomotive projects. The Watercress Lines Engineering Open Weekend will be a unique opportunity to see the inner workings of a heritage railway and the hard work and dedication that go into preserving and maintaining the country's steam locomotive heritage. For those interested in the history of Britain's railways or simply in search of a fun family day out, the event promises a wealth of activities and insights. Tickets and further information about the event can be found on the Watercress Lines website. The weekend will also provide an opportunity for visitors to pull levers in the period signal box at Medstead.
Ancient clock ticking again. A historic clock dating back to the reign of Queen Elizabeth I has been brought back to life. The turret clock, one of the oldest in the country, was installed at the Church of St John the Baptist in Winchester in 1559 and is believed to have been silent for more than a century. After a fundraising campaign raised £8,000, the ancient timepiece has now been conserved and restored to working order. Hugh Proudman, who led the restoration project at the church in St John's Street, said, "Quite why it was installed is unclear, but we know it cost £13.09 and that Edward Churcher was paid 4 shillings to wind it 3 times a day. It is such an early clock that no nuts or bolts were used, and the wrought iron frame is held together with wedges. It works by 2 largely separate mechanisms known as trains. One drives the timekeeping parts, and the second is the striking train and is used to sound the bell. The bell it strikes is the one seen in the 1910 photograph and dates from the 14th century. The clock was removed from the church in the 1960s for safekeeping and has only recently been restored thanks to the combined effort of donations and specialist support. The Cumbria Clock Company, known for its work on historic timepieces, led the conservation work. Keith Scobie Young, as a director of the company, said, "We carried out a conservation programme and did as little to it as possible. Like smartphones today, it went through various upgrades, but more than 60% of it is the original 16th century clock. It has a unique system of winding that I've never seen before, and I've been making and repairing turret clocks all my life. This is probably one of about 5 clocks of this type that the public can go and see, and I think it's remarkable that it was able to keep accurate time, and still does. Only around a dozen clocks of this age are thought to exist in the UK, with just a handful on public display." Mr. Proudman explained that the clock now sits in the nave of the church rather than the tower. He said, "We've decided to keep the clock in the nave because the tower is accessed by a very narrow staircase and it would have been difficult to install it there, and we want people to be able to see it. It won't be running all the time due to its fragility, but we are pleased that after nearly 500 years, this ancient clock is back home."
W. H. Smith rebrand completed. A well-known shop has completed its rebrand in Winchester. Workmen have completed the exterior, have repainted the exterior of W. H. Smith in High Street and put up the new T.G. Jones signs. The historical coats of arms on the Parchment Street front are also being repainted. The new owner has said it will keep the post office outlet that operates in many branches, but will rebrand the High Street chains, aiming to keep a similar name and colour scheme for continuity. The company, which has been around since the Victorian era, sold their High Street businesses to Hobbycraft owner Modella Capital in March this year for $76 million. The W.H. Smith name will not disappear and will still be used at airports, railway station and hospital outlets that are also not for sale. The new owner, Modella Capital, specialises in investing in retailers and has previously invested in Paperchase, Tyrek, and also bought the arts and crafts company, Hobbycraft, in August this year.
Nightclub turned food hall set to open soon. Refurbishments are continuing on Winchester's soon-to-be food hall after announcing that an end is in sight. Helch Market, founded by Jamal Benamor, 23, from Bournemouth, has an existing venue in Bournemouth and has expanded to Winchester as a result of his success. And this is a bit, I'm not reading now, I'm just speaking extemporaneously, but this is the building which is along from the Hampshire Chronicle offices in which we are sitting as we read this, record our newspaper. It's just along there and it's opposite the Brook Shopping Centre. And listeners may remember that some time ago there was a bit of a fuss and bother because whatever the building was before was in fact discovered to be housing
a cannabis
factory. and it's not now, we hope. However, on with the piece. The Winchester branch will be four times the size and able to accommodate 500 people, with 300 seated and 200 standing. Mr. Benamore said, "Some of the renovations have been done like the garden, the structure of the main room and the flat above, but it's a big project, so there's still stuff to do. Originally, it was quite daunting, but now I think it'll come together pretty quickly. I'm always working on site and attending planning meetings, so I think it'll be done by November. The concept of a food hall with a bar and a proper event space is completely unique to Winchester, which I think will make it successful. The ground floor will see an independent cafe, and the basement will serve as an event space, hosting a range of events including weekly live jazz nights, stand-up comedy, DJ sets, and other community-driven events. The first floor of the building will see the food hall, containing a main bar, five street food kitchens, as well as plenty of seating. Helch was announced to be opening its doors in Winchester during March this year, after the space had been vacant from the previous nightclub's drug bust in 2023. Winchester City Council has now accepted Mr. Benamore's licensing application, which covers the sale of alcohol, late-night refreshment, live and recorded music, plays, films, indoor sporting events, boxing or wrestling entertainment, dancing, and similar activities. The venue is now set to operate as a food hall from 11:30 a.m. to 10 p.m, and the live music events will depend on what's taking place.
Anglo-Saxon longhouse discovered by M3 archaeologists. A potential Anglo-Saxon longhouse has been discovered near the development site of the M3 Junction 9 scheme near Winchester. According to an update given by National Highways, the site was discovered as part of archaeological investigations in the area ahead of the current construction works. These investigations provide new evidence into the lives of people living in Winchester in the past. National Highways has also said that the excavation of a Bronze Age ring ditch, described as a key archaeological area, has also been successfully completed. Archaeologists are now continuing their work as the topsoil is removed across the site to ensure no important finds are missed. National Highways is spending some £150 million on changes to the M3A34 interchange at Winnell. When completed, traffic on both roads will be able to access the other without going around the Winnell roundabout.
Theatre given £25,000 in bid to stop closure. An arts and education charity has been given £25,000 boost to help fund a major refurbishment. Play to the Crowd, which runs the Theatre Royal Winchester, received the funding from the Backstage Trust towards essential upgrades to the theatre's downstairs stalls, toilets. The refurbishment is critical to preventing the potential closure of the venue, and as outside restroom facilities could lead to mounting maintenance costs, unavailable cubicles, and even a complete shutdown of the building. Becca Moore, fundraising manager at Play to the Crowd, said, "We're incredibly grateful to the Backstage Trust for their support at this crucial stage. Their generosity gives a huge boost to our Stoyles Toilets refurbishment, making the theatre more welcoming and inclusive for everyone. Now we have the chance to unlock an extra £10,000, and we're urging local people to get behind our appeal. Every donation really does count, now doubly so, and you can help finish this project and keep Theatre Royal Winchester safe from the real threat of closure. Along with the grant, the Backstage Trust has set a fundraising challenge for the charity. If Play to the Crowd secures an additional £10,000 through new donations, its crowd funder, the Trust, will contribute a further £10,000. Anyone wishing to support the project can contact the fundraiser.
Bishop's letter to abuse survivors. The Bishop of Winchester has penned an open letter to survivors of Church of England-related abuse following a deeply regrettable data breach. The Right Reverend Philip Mount Stephen has written the letter following a data breach by Kennedy's Law LLP, who administer the Church's independent redress scheme. Bishop Philip chaired the redress board prior to the approval of the scheme at General Synod in July. The redress scheme is designed to provide financial compensation, therapy, spiritual and emotional support, and formal apologies to survivors of abuse. A data breach saw the details of nearly 200 abuse survivors mistakenly shared in an email on Tuesday, August the 26th. The Bishop's letter, dated August the 28th, reads, "It is deeply regrettable, and I recognise the distress and sense of betrayal it has caused, particularly for those of you who placed your trust in this process. Survivors deserve and should receive the utmost care, confidentiality and respect. On behalf of the Church, I want to say clearly, there can be no excuses for this failure. We know that this has negatively affected people and trust has been damaged, and we grieve that this has happened. Kennedy's Law accepted full responsibility for the breach, which leaked 194 abuse survivors' personal information. The law firm is contacting those affected directly." The Bishop explained that the Church of England is not the legal data controller for the redress scheme and does not hold or manage the data in question, adding, "I want to be clear, very clear, that this does not lessen our moral responsibility." He continued, "Kennedy's Law are conducting a full investigation which the Church of England is monitoring closely. We are in active discussions with them to ensure robust safeguards are put in place so that this cannot happen again. I know that words alone cannot repair the hurt caused. What matters now is what we do next and prevent this from happening again. Our focus must be on supporting those affected and ensuring that the redress scheme remains robust and fit for purpose. This scheme exists to provide financial redress, therapeutic and spiritual support, and an acknowledgement of the Church's wrongdoing. It is vital that this work continues because survivors deserve nothing less." He encouraged anyone affected by the incident to contact the Church directly at redress@churchofengland.org. That's all one word, lowercase, .org. I'll read that one more time. redress@churchofengland.org.
Plans unveiled for fire-ravaged restaurant site. Plans have been unveiled for a Toby Carvery restaurant set to undergo major renovations 8 months after a blaze caved its roof in and forced its closure. A fire in the early hours of the morning on December the 29th damaged the Bishopstoke Eatery on Fair Oak Road, requiring 6 fire engines, an aerial ladder platform, 4 main jets and 2 hose reels to put out. The employee sleeping above the restaurant at the time, Ben Phillips, 32, lost everything except his phone, wallet, clothes on his back and pet cat, when the roof caved in during the blaze. Plans submitted to Eastleigh Borough Council now propose a range of external changes to the Toby Carvery, which has remained shut since the fire last year. A planning statement said restorative works will take place to fix the fire damage to the roof in a like-for-like fashion. Documents lodged with the application say that changes hope to improve the pub's customer experience and ensure its long-term business viability. The exterior changes are designed to retain the existing character of the pub, with no change in use or aspects of development that would detract from the building's contribution to the surrounding conservation area. Operating hours will remain unchanged, and the minor external alterations are not expected to increase noise pollution or disturbance.
A final item about bus services. Free park and ride bus service has been axed. A free park and ride bus service in Winchester has been axed. Winchester Park and Ride, a partnership between Stagecoach and Winchester City Council, announced the end of free travel from the Leisure Centre to the Broadway on Saturday, August the 30th. A Stagecoach spokesman said, "The free park and ride service from Barfield to the City Centre was introduced in May 2022, alongside the opening of the new Leisure Centre to encourage visits and make it easier for people to access the facility. From the 1st of September, the scheme will end. This change is to ensure the park and ride remains viable and continues to provide reliable connections for our customers in Winchester." Notices were put on park and ride bus stops stating that normal fares will apply from Monday, September the 1st, at a maximum daily cost of £3.50. A Winchester City Council spokesperson said, "This was a Stagecoach decision. They informed us recently that they could no longer support the free travel between the Broadway and the Leisure Centre." And the final item, rare honour for key wildlife role. A conservationist has been honoured for her decades of work to bring a species back from extinction. Dr. Tanya Gilbert from Marwell Wildlife has received the Rare Zoo and Aquarium Hero Award from the British Irish Association of Zoos and Aquariums in recognition of her conservation efforts, particularly her work with the scimitar horned oryx. Dr. Gilbert said, "I'm truly honoured to have been given this award. The animal was extinct across its former range and it's now back in the wild. It's a perfect example of what can be achieved when we all work together to save species. It is incredibly rewarding to see them in the wild in Tunisia and to know that together we helped save a species that otherwise wouldn't be here today." The award was announced just after Scimitar Horned Oryx Day on August the 16th, a global event celebrating the recovery of the North African antelope, which was declared extinct in the wild in the 1990s. Its decline was caused by overhunting, competition with livestock, and drought. Dr. Gilbert, who joined Marwell Wildlife's conservation team in 2001 and now serves as head of conservation science, has played a key role in international efforts to reintroduce the oryx to its native habitat. Through the work of Marwell and partner organisations, the species has been reintroduced to Tunisia, Morocco, Senegal and Chad, leading to its reclassification from extinct in the wild to endangered. For over 20 years, Tanya has provided expert support for zoo-based conservation as international stud bookkeeper and European breeding program manager, guiding a selection of animals that have been successfully reintroduced to the wild in Tunisia and Chad. "It is difficult to imagine that we would have succeeded in bringing the scimitar-horned oryx back from extinction without Tanya's contributions." That concludes our extracts for the week. Our thanks to our editors for selecting the extracts this week, to the copying, dispatch and memory stick preparation teams, and to our readers today, who were Tony Bergstrom.
Goodbye.
John Richards.
Goodbye.
And Jane Rutter.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope. And again, an apology that for technical reasons, you will not be receiving a magazine this month. A reminder too that you can also hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on AWAS Community Radio 99.8 FM and digital on Saturdays at 5 p.m.